y'all in with the new. We are watching the inauguration of Barack Obama at AM 1500 KSTP, the talk station, in about an hour. He will take the oath and then, of course, make the speech. We'll carry the speech live here at KSTP. And then there should be enough time to take some reaction to that. Here's my problem with all this coverage. I realize people are watching the coverage and they've been watching the coverage or not over the past couple of days. What bothers me about most of the coverage is that it's all these people who are reporters and so forth with the crowds and all that. It's just stories about what's happening right now and isn't this great and so forth and so on. And I suppose it is not a day for analysis. We talked with John Fund from the Wall Street Journal last hour and talked a little bit about this situation with the media where there's really little critical coverage of anything. The headlines that I have for Obama, some of them are just unbelievable. I am almost certain, and I didn't certainly go back to 2000, but I am almost certain that we had nothing approaching this kind of coverage for the Bush inaugural, either the first or second, or really for that matter, the second Clinton inaugural. I don't know, but I'm willing to bet that many of those schools did not stop their activities during the day to watch Bush get inaugurated. And I understand the significance of Obama's inauguration. I understand all of that. It's just that I lament the lack of criticism for Obama at almost at all by the mainstream media. We talked a little bit about that. But here's the other thing that bothers me. It gives you no opportunity to respond. And, you know, I don't know if anybody's going to respond, but I'm going to tell you I did not schedule any guests. I could talk to a whole bunch of people. I could be talking to Aaron Katorski. I could be talking to, you know, all these ABC people. And I did not schedule them because I don't want to talk to them. Not because I don't like them or anything else as people or anything otherwise. It's just I don't know that they can add much. What I'm interested in is what people think of what's going on. And in particular, in this whole sort of out with the old, in the new idea that I've been talking about, this hour I want to hear what your expectations are for Barack Obama as president and for the new regime in Washington. Maybe they're great expectations. Maybe you're happy. Maybe you figure that things are going to get better. Maybe you think that the country is in such a terrible state that we need Roosevelt or we need Lincoln to fix it, that we need to do major, major surgery, that we need to spend $800 billion or more to fund things in the economy that have to be done right now, infrastructure, energy, all those things. And the real question as far as whether or not people are politically involved or even passively involved is what their expectations are for the future, not particularly for today. This is a government ceremony. This is a tradition. And it is the good thing about it is it shows a peaceful transition of power. We don't have coup d'etats in America generally. there is a peaceful transition of power in Washington. The question is whether, for some people, whether this represents any real change, whether this is simply a transition from the Republicrats to the Demo Repubs, that there is no real change, that it appears to be change. It's presented as change. It's presented as new, but there's really nothing new. I don't know that I'd agree with that. I think that that things will be different. The question is, how will they be different? And the first step in engaging, particularly for people who are disaffected conservatives, is what your perception is for what will happen, both with a Democrat Congress and a Democrat president and a Democrat Senate. There are many challenges that face the country, and we could be sitting here talking about pomp and circumstance. We can talk about the challenges and what you think will happen in the next few years and what your expectations are. I don't know if people can do it. I don't know if they want to do it. I can just tell you I'm sick and tired of hearing about porta potties and what Mrs. Bush is wearing and so forth and so on. I can see that, and I can see it any time, and I can see it tonight. The real question is what you think. Dave, you're on AM 1500.
How you doing, Bob?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I did not vote for Obama, and my expectations, boy, I just have to sigh and hope that we don't get, you know, take the country severely off course. And I'm hoping for the best. I'm doubtful.
What would the best be?
The best would be that he would realize that he can't go as far left as he wants, and that he realizes he's got to, you know, stay more in the middle. And I think if you get a guy like that to stay anywhere close to the middle, that'd be called success.
Thank you, Dave.
You bet.
Appreciate it. 651-646-8255, toll-free 877-615-1500. There's a lot of disaffected, I guess that's my word for it, disaffected conservatives, people who are similarly morose to the Democrats when Bush was inaugurated. very depressed about this, particularly depressed about the Democrat Congress. What are the Republicans going to do, you think? What will the disaffected conservatives do? No one is harder on Bush than the conservatives. One of them remarked that you could sum up the Bush legacy in two words, Barack Obama, which I thought was pretty funny. No one is harder on the Republicans right now than the Republicans. What are you thinking? Is this something that you've just simply turned off, that you just can't take it, that you don't want to hear it, listen to it, think about it? It's a stick your head in the sand moment, or is this a moment to reflect and figure out what's to be done? 651-646-8255, toll free 877-615-1500. Like I said, this is your opportunity to respond to this, and I don't know if anybody can. I don't know if anybody will. It's very interesting to me that this is really a momentous occasion, and it seems like people just don't have anything to say. They just don't seem to be able to come up with anything or I'm not asking you the right questions. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like people are willing to or able to respond to this. It's very interesting to me. Almost like a beaten down, well, I don't know. Somebody said to me last night, I said something to the effect of there's going to be change, or we're kidding around about change. And somebody said, well, it's not that he's going to do anything. It's that he's going to empower us to change. That Barack will empower all of us to change the things that we need to change. That's what's going to make things really different in America. Now, didn't we always have the power to change? Or was this something that he's going to confer upon America? Are conservatives being too negative about this? Should conservatives be supporting this guy and saying, hey, this is great, good luck, and we hope he succeeds, and let's be gracious, as opposed to starting to figure out the grounds for opposition? I'm not going to lie to you. I don't agree with anything generally that I hear Obama say, and I'll give you 100 examples, one of which is the so-called tax cuts, which I've talked about ad infinitum, which are not tax cuts. They call them tax cuts, but they're tax credits. And I could go through the long list: unemployment benefits increasing, putting billions and billions of dollars into energy jobs, which will do what? Creating nationalized health insurance, all this stuff with funding education more when what's needed is more competition and so forth. Where are the ideas on the right to oppose the things that seem to be a juggernaut today legislatively? Kevin, you're on AM 1500.
Hey, good morning.
Yes.
Well, I just want to say it's a wonderful day for America, in that a dutifully elected black American would be elected as a president. I think that's great change, and I'm speaking from an independent viewpoint. And it's ironic that corporations were set up basically for the advancement of the Negroes, and then we got to such
what?
A welfare that a black man will maybe set us free or not, but that's up to us.
Wait, whoa. Corporations were set up for what?
Corporations were set up right after the Emancipation Proclamation for specific rights for the Negroes so that they would move into an assimilation with a white culture. Check it out. And then corporations got so wonderful that people said, why don't we use that same concept and basically give corporations more inalienable rights than us as civil human beings? That's a fact.
Okay. And what does that mean? I mean,
well,
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or
that
what.
Go full circle, and that a black man might take us out of the bondage of our own.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Structure.
Okay, thanks.
I think it's great.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Kevin. Lisa, you're on AM 1500.
Hi. You know, I just think that a lot of us are sitting back and holding our breath, and hoping that Obama is capable of taking us out of what economic and world issues we're dealing with. I mean, I come from a more independent view, too, and I did not vote for Obama. I think it's a great thing that they do have the coverage. I guess I would have to compare it with the coverage of Ronald Reagan. I don't remember too much before Ronald Reagan, but I do remember when I was when we were taken down to the gym and we watched the inauguration of Ronald Reagan back in 1980.
Actually, you're right about that. I'd have to reflect on that, too, and say that the Reagan inaugural received a fair amount of coverage along the same lines. Perhaps, you know, in 20 years, lots has changed. 28 years, lots has changed.
Yeah, lots of change.
I mean, it gets more, it's bigger. No matter what you do, it's bigger because, obviously, there's more media now than there was 28 years ago.
Well, and I also wonder if it is bigger for the media because everybody wants the perfect picture, the perfect excerpt that's going to be displayed 20 years from now.
You know, that's all fine and well, but we still have to govern the country, and the institutions of government are still the same, and it's not a reality TV show. It's real. This is another thing that bothers me. And there's nothing I can do about it, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. There's a sense that this is like a reality TV show, but in reality, it's really happening.
Well, and I think one of the problems that we deal with is that the media has become more than what it is. And if I were to have a hope for the president, for Barack's presidency, I would hope that he brings it back down to the human nature and not being the larger than life. That it is just the presidency. It is a big deal, but it's not larger than life.
But he already is larger than life.
I realize that.
I mean, we're already well past that point.
I'm hoping that he does bring back into the presidency the reality. You know, Ronald Reagan, to me, always seemed like a person that anybody could approach and talk to. That he was open to talking to more than just the people that were surrounding him. Jimmy Carter also seemed that way.
Does that make a good president?
I think it makes them more human, makes us more able to dream.
Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Really interesting choice of words there. And I'm just going to let that lay for a second. Andy, you're on AM 1500.
Yeah, hey, good morning. I could care less if he's black, white, or blue. You know, honestly, they made such a big deal out of that there's nothing more to say, but it's interesting to me that the economy is in the dumper, but how many millions of people have made that, quote, exodus to Washington? They actually used the word exodus. And it just enrages me to think that they have put this guy so far on a pedestal that it's like people are going to see Jesus Christ himself. And I didn't take the day off. I wouldn't care if he had the inauguration in Burnsville. I got a job to do. And I can't believe that all of these people, the economy is so far in the dumper, but we can all take the day off to go to Washington. I think it's a crock.
Thanks, Andy. I have questioned for a long time the degree to which we have talked down the economy. Certainly there are structural problems with banking. There are issues. But I think Barack Obama in particular has done everything he can do to sandbag this to make it look as bad as it possibly can look, because if he doesn't and things don't get better, he's going to be attacked by the media and everybody else as having, quote, not fixed it. John Fund said this morning, within 6 months, he will essentially have to own the economy at that point. And if the policies that are enacted don't, quote, fix this horrible situation that we're in, quote unquote, then there's going to be issues. You know, if things are so bad, I don't know how people manage to go out and eat. I don't know how many people manage to go to the mall. I don't know how people manage to seem to be driving around in their cars still quickly and fast. When gas was $4 a gallon, everyone was driving slow. Now they're, you know, hell beat for leather, so to speak. So I don't believe that the economy is as bad as people say it is. I think there are obviously some severe, serious problems, but sometimes the cure can be worse than the disease, and that's going to be the issues that we're going to take up as time goes on. The first thing he'll do will have to do with the stimulus package. And if we go ahead and spend $800 billion of money we don't have on top of what we've already spent, there are going to be effects that may not be something we really want. Rodney, you're on AM 1500.
Bob, I think you've said this before, but you probably faced it in a different way. Is I have three conservative friends, all CEOs of Fortune 500 companies,
yes,
who loved the Clinton years and who told me they voted for Barack. What they're hoping for is stability. They want to make money. Do you hear that, Bob? Three Republicans, real conservatives, that say, no, we got to get back to making money. And that's
well, here's the question then. Here's the question. Yeah, but here's the problem. how are you going to make money if the government is trillions of dollars in debt, the dollar is weak, and you have inflation at 20 or 30%? I mean, these are the questions that, as we get into this legislative session, I realize what you're saying, but I honestly, Rodney, I don't believe you.
Well,
I know many...
Obama had more of a chance to bring them to where they wanted to be than McCain did.
Well, that only means that McCain had no ideas. I'm not disputing that. I'm certainly not going to shill for the Republican Party. No one is harder on them than I am. They don't have any ideas. And to get five Republicans in a room and try to get them to agree on some sort of economic idea or even rhetoric is ridiculous. But the idea that the CEOs and the Wall Street voted for Obama, you know, I'm not willing to accept that.
Oh, okay. Can I make one more point with you there?
Yeah.
I heard it through the grapevine that one of the things that Obama would like to do is to stop the blackmailing that states do in order to bring businesses. I heard that's on his agenda. So you know how we have, you know.
Well, how would he stop that? How would he stop that since those are state laws?
Well, I hear that's on his agenda.
Yeah, but I mean, how does he stop that if those are state laws?
I'm not sure I know how he does it, but that's on his agenda.
And again, he can't make any law, as you know. That's a congressional issue. That Congress would have to do that.
Well, you're talking about commerce, and can you make a deal with commerce under a state law regarding federal, you know, products that are going out across the country?
Federal products? You mean products made by the federal government?
A car is a federal product. You know, there's a federal tax on it.
Oh, well, what would that have to do with states?
Well, I'm just telling you, this is one of the things I heard was on his agenda, which will be interesting.
Again,
you ought to have a program on it.
Again, the question is, how do you do that?
I'm not sure. That's why he's going to be the president, Bob, and not me. But,
yeah, but he doesn't legislate.
Well, wouldn't that be an interesting program? I'd like to hear your...
What I'd like to hear is what you think that they would do. You've made this. You've asked me this question. You've brought this up, but you don't have any idea whether or not that would be something they could do, because there's a thing called states' rights. You can't just go making laws telling the states what to do.
Yeah,
the states might have issues with that.
Cars are federal products that cross state lines.
What is
well,
a federal
Bob.
Product? You mean the federal government makes it?
There's a federal excise tax on that new car that you buy.
Yeah, but it's not made by the federal government.
I think you have to ask someone that knows more than we do about how that's done. But I would like to see it done, because I think it's outright blackmail, the way one state can go against another and move, you know, 2,000 jobs away.
You mean it's outright blackmail if states govern themselves?
Well, you're giving away tax money for, say, somebody in Alabama. Maybe they don't have the same university we have, so they cut their tax base for their university so they can win the Toyota.
That's their choice.
How does that make sense, Bob?
That's their choice. We have 50 states in the union.
No, it's not their choice, because they're doing it from people that are in the bottom eco-social of our economy.
Rodney, one of the things I don't think you understand is that there are powers allotted in the Constitution to states, and there are powers allotted in the Constitution to the federal government. And the idea of states' rights is a powerful idea in the Constitution. Right. The reason for that is they did not want an unlimited federal government. And I would urge you to read those sections of the Constitution that relate to states' rights, because you really can't just say that states can't do that. The states might have an issue with that. Thank you. And they would sue. Be back in a second at AM 1500 KSDP, the talk station.
The talk station, AM 1500 KSDP.
AM 1500 KSDP, the talk station. This is Bob Davis. We're talking about out with the old, in with the new. And again, this is your opportunity to cover the inaugural on your own. I'm sick of all these reporters, although I will be talking to Steve Moore as one of the commentators in the Wall Street Journal and on the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal here, one of the guys I've talked to over the weeks that I really like. But in the general, I'm sick of these news anchors. This is your opportunity to talk about what your expectations for Obama are, and in the future, what you think he'll do, whether it's good or bad. And I, you know, I'm glad to hear from everybody. I'm not going to not argue with people, but I'm amazed at some of the things that people come up with in terms of the descriptors of what he may or may not do. Note the lack of specifics. Note that we really don't know what he'll do, but we're really excited about it and hopeful. And he's going to be a human being. He is going to do all this, but we don't, we kind of just fill in the blanks. There are no blanks to fill in. It's just, we're going to feel better. He's going to empower us. He's going to be a human being. He's going to do all these things. They have been so effective in selling something that everybody seems to want, which is just a guy who is a human being and who will listen to people and who will, I don't know, what? Fill in the blank. Help us dream. And yet there's a specific list of problems, and it's just the presidency. He has to work with Congress. And I'm amazed that people don't have real expectations specifically about what they think will happen. We have become really almost completely a symbolic nation. This is why you want to know why there's a $170 million inaugural, and you want to know why this thing is staged the way it is, because this country is no longer a nation of people who are interested in specifics. This is a country that has become interested and instantly affected by symbolic gestures. It's all about symbolic gestures. And I think if there's a problem with the Bush administration, it was that he wasn't symbolic enough. We communicate through symbols. We no longer communicate really through words. We no longer communicate through facts. We no longer communicate through the it's like we've become a cuneiform nation. We're sort of hieroglyphics. And I think that's really fascinating. So that's one of the reasons I think this has become so important. It's all about what's on that TV screen today. This is your chance to respond to it, to say something about it, to come up with what you think will happen and whether that's good or bad and what you're going to do about it, especially if you're a conservative. 651-646-8255, toll-free 877-615-1500 at AM 1500 KSTP. 1030, Bob Berglund standing by with a news update at AM 1500 KSTP.
And good morning. It's 14 degrees in the Twin Cities. Key dignitaries and former presidents are taking their places at the front of the Capitol for today's ceremonies. Joe Biden scheduled to be sworn in as vice president about 10:45, and Barack Obama as president at 11 o'clock. A crowd on both sides of the street watched the motorcade carrying the current president and his successor to the historic event. The huge security presence was evident along the way with a line of officers standing in front of the spectators. Hundreds of thousands of people are amassed on the National Mall from the Capitol to the Washington Monument and beyond. Washington officials had told spectators to get there early, and they've been listening. Long before dawn, crowds began streaming into Washington, jamming subway cars. U.S. stocks have been down this morning on fears of a spreading global banking crisis. The latest British government bank bailout has investors worried about a full nationalization. Among the many Minnesotans watching the inauguration today is Joe Addie Munson, who stood in the crowd in Washington over four decades ago when Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his I Have a Dream speech. Joe says at the time she imagined a country where African Americans could someday get better jobs and schooling, but she never dreamed a black man would become president.
Oh, I'm going to cry. There's no doubt about that. I could cry just thinking of it.
Munson says she will likely watch the festivities at the Minneapolis Urban League, surrounded by others with the same sense of progress she has. Two people were injured when flying debris crashed through their vehicles. Between 10:30 and 11 o'clock last night on I-94 in the metro, a chunk of something broke through the floorboards of one car near downtown St. Paul, injuring the driver's leg. Then, a short time later, some metal object broke through the windshield of a car near Highway 280, hitting a passenger in the chest. The extent of the injuries unknown this morning. Earlier, a car fire on I-94 in the Lowry Hill Tunnel shut down the freeway for about half an hour. No word of any injuries there. Students were so excited to get back to school at Minnesota State Mankato last weekend that they overdid the partying. Mankato police say they issued 127 citations late Friday night, mostly for underage drinking. Patrick Hammer's 5 Eyewitness News forecast, partly cloudy in 26 today. We're up to 14 now at AM 1500 KSTP.
AM 1500 KSTP.
AM 1500 KSTP, the talk station. This is Bob Davis. It is Inauguration Day. Here's what we're going to do, just so you know what's happening. We sort of are doing out with the old, in with the new. So the last hour, we sort of out with the old, talked about Bush, did kind of a post-mortem on Bush, and that's going to be the end of that. Obama takes the oath of office at 11 o'clock. He's supposed to be hand on Bible at 11, so we will carry that live. We will then carry the inaugural speech after that, and if there's time, we'll get some reaction on it. If not, we'll do that tomorrow. Again, my thing today has just been this gives people an opportunity to do sort of their own inaugural coverage. I think a lot of people are watching, and that's fine. I think a lot of reaction perhaps tomorrow on what happened. My immediate thing, as I said all morning, is I am again stunned by the lack of critical analysis in the press. And when I say press, I mean the mainstream media. You know, if you look at blogs and stuff, you see a little bit different approach, both right and left, in terms of people's reaction to what's going on and so forth. It's honestly things like the comparisons to Lincoln, the comparisons to Roosevelt, really pass without comment unless you read, you know, conservative commentators and so forth. There are many, obviously, concerns facing the country. This is a day, I suppose, to forget that and to observe a quiet and a reasonable transition of power from right to left in America, from one political party to the other in America, and from one president to the next. It's so funny that people will say, I'm interested in stability from this president, when in fact the presidency itself is stability. There was some, I don't even know what it was. It was the Home and Garden Channel last night had a thing about the White House, and they interviewed Bush, and one of the things that he said was, it's the institution that is stable. That's the whole point of the presidency in this country, is having a stable chief executive, and that's what's going on, and that's what we're watching today, and it's pretty cool. That part of it is cool. I can be positive about that, but I'm not. I'm not going to just suspend judgment for a whole day about what's going to happen and what our expectations for the new president might be, as well as the new Congress. Frank, you're on AM 1500.
Good morning. The story today, is it a bigger story that he's the first African-American president or that he is the first non-white president?
Yes. Well, it's true.
Okay. And the others I'm asking is, okay, it wouldn't have mattered if the person was African-American or if they were Asian. Somali never happened, not this early anyhow. But the fact that he's non-white, I think, marks a great day in our country. Just the fact that we can look past all the biases that we've, you know, that people have had over the years.
Yeah, I think this is the best thing. But this is kind of like, if I were to be fair, I would say, well, Bush kept the country safe. People will say that about Bush. If this is all that you have to say about Obama, then we're in serious trouble. In other words, Bush kept the country safe. Obama's the first non-white American president. Big deal.
Okay. To some people, that is a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal. It is a big deal just as the Bush keeping the country safe was a big deal. It's just interesting to me, and I'm not arguing. It's just interesting that people will downplay what Bush did, but this guy, by the nature of the color of his skin, is viewed as being somehow above the cut, and that's all he has to do. And it is a great thing that we've elected an African-American president. Fabulous. I'm thrilled. But if that's all you have, what else is there?
And I'll agree with that statement as well.
Well, what is there? What else do you expect out of Obama besides when the novelty of him being an African-American president fades, which is a tremendous achievement by the American people, not by him so much. I think it's, you know, he can take credit for it. But it's the American people that made this change, and it's a great change, okay? What else?
Well, personally, I didn't vote for the man. I'm hoping to see what he actually is going to deliver of his promises, because I don't believe that he can deliver on any of them, personally, because, like you said, he doesn't enact, he can sign off on it, he can veto it, but he can't, you know, he can't make a law.
Right. All right. Thanks, Frank. I appreciate it. What do you expect Obama will do, good or bad? And I'm willing to entertain, positives as well. We don't have to be negative about Obama. That's not the objective here. It's just, again, fascinating to me that nobody really has any real specifics anymore. And I don't know what we're going to do with that. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens as we move into the administration. If this continues, this concentration on symbolism, this concentration on that which is unsaid, dreams, empowerment, empty phrases that what do they mean? What does that actually mean to you? It's specifics. And what do you think he'll do? We'll be right back at AM 1500 KSTP, the talk station.
The talk station, AM 1500 KSTP.
AM 1500 KSTP, the talk station. This is Bob Davis. Inauguration Day, 2009. And here's what's going to happen. At about 11 o'clock, Obama will put his hand on the Bible. You will hear at some point here, they will administer the oath of office to, is it Biden first or is it, Biden is administered the oath of office first, the oath of office. And then, of course, Obama will be hands on the Bible at 11 o'clock, and we will carry it live, and then we will carry the inaugural speech live. And I don't know how long the inaugural speech is, what, 15 or 20 minutes? And then if there's enough time, we'll take some reaction to it, if there is any reaction to it. Again, I'm amazed at the lack of specificity. Let's just put it that way. I'm amazed at the symbolic words, dream. Here's another one, pragmatism. That has become one of these loaded words that we're going to have. Well, now we're going to have a pragmatic president, which apparently means it's going to be somebody who pursues what works, not necessarily any sort of partisan policy. Well, that's just ridiculous. It's going to take him about 5 minutes to become partisan once he gets in there, because he's going to have to deal with Congress. And this is the other thing about this whole coronation process. This is a transition of power. It's a peaceful transition of power. Credit goes to both the Bush administration and the Obama transition committee to make this seamless. There have been no unseemly incidents, as there were with Clinton and the transition to Bush. And that's something that I think the American people appreciate. He will still have to work with Congress, and the presidency is still limited by Congress and the Supreme Court. Certainly he has powers, but I won't say that I worry. It's just the thing that I don't want to take away from this is that the president is all powerful and is going to make all these changes. And again, that's Obama's problem in terms of politics for the future. There are so many different articles about what people expect from this. The end of racism. Here's one of my favorites. The media, one of their positions is that George W. Bush was not nuanced. He was not able to be nuanced. Barack Obama, according to E.J. Dion Jr., a big writer on the left and often a commentator in USA Today and so forth, and you'll read his columns in the Tribune, says that Obama will bring back the art of nuance, and that's really going to help. That Bush was not a guy who was nuanced. He tended to be blunt, and we're very happy about that. What is nuance? Does anybody really understand what the concept of nuance is? That's one of my favorites. Young voters hope to end boomer politics. Many of the young voters, people, under 42, who are not baby boomers. And by the way, Obama is a baby boomer, but he identifies with Generation X. But he was, 48 years old, so he was born. The boom lasted from 1954, 1953 to 1960, so... Actually, it was 1949 to 1960, right? Something like that. So he's a boomer, but we are hoping that this will be the end to the boom politics that we've experienced, the partisanship that we expect and we want to see an end to partisanship. And for conservatives, I would then ask, if it's an end to partisanship, then how does one oppose? Isn't the country based on partisan politics? Isn't the country based on different people with different views coagulating into a party and fighting for their perspective? Why is it okay to fight if you're on the left, but if you're on the right, you're just being an evil, nasty partisan if you disagree with the direction of particular things? And again, the opposition serves a purpose. And it serves a purpose to vet some of these ideas. For example, $800 and some billion dollars of deficit spending to go into wind-powered power and, green jobs and all these other wonderful things. But you have many young voters, Gen Y, which is the millennials, and, of course, the children of the boomers, and Generation X, which is hoping for an end to what they refer to as boomer politics. Not quite sure what that is. And I guess in their view, that is dredging up politics from the 1960s, dredging up this partisan battle going back to Vietnam, the psychodrama of the baby boom generation, as Obama himself put it in the Audacity Hope, even though he's a boomer. Obama said, historian Michael Kazin of Georgetown University, represents a sense of breaking away from those old conflicts. Do you think that's true? Then again, we get back into this whole thing of him continuing to evoke Lincoln and Roosevelt and being okay with that. Leonard Pitts wrote a piece yesterday in the Miami Herald that basically said, I don't know that Lincoln would have welcomed an Obama presidency. He had a 19th century view of black people and so forth and so on. So there's that going on. Let's see, another one is, the only thing we have to fear is Barack Obama. That's from the right these days. Several things. One, we have to fear that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Barnes talks about how Obama throws numbers around like confetti, but in fact, there's lots of questions about some of the things that he said. He's a pushover. And he asked the question, who's tougher, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid or Nancy Pelosi? We'll see about that one as well. He's another Jimmy Carter on foreign and national security policy. As we get into this presidency, one of the issues is going to be talking to the enemy, talking to people that are not interested in seeing us do well. For example, North Korea, Iran, the terrorists and other countries that are Cuba and so forth. If diplomacy is the first and only tool, what will the result be? That's one of the things that you're going to be hearing a lot about. Here's another one that he fears. Obama has nerves of jello that he feels that it may be an unfair fear, but he talks about how Obama really never went against the power when he was in the legislatures. He tended to be a creature of the legislature and sort of just kind of go with the flow. We'll see if that is what happens as he gets into this. So those are the things that when you look ahead, the challenges that we face, it's really a question of what the government does and whether or not it works. And when we get past all the words like pragmatism and dreams and hopes, and isn't this great, and the pageantry, when the real work begins, it's going to be a real question of what they do, whether it will be real change or whether some of it will be a mistake. There's a lot of concern about the deficit and a lot of concern about the stimulus package, a lot of concern about the security issues and so forth. This is a day we don't think about that stuff because we're inaugurating a president. We're watching this transition. But those are the things that we're going to be all over come tomorrow. Steve Moore from The Wall Street Journal standing by. Good morning.
Hi, I'm sorry I was caught up in the frenzy of what's been going on, but it's good to talk to you this morning.
Where are you this morning?
Well, I escaped Washington this morning because there was just no way to get into the city. All of the bridges are closed and the metro trains about an hour and a half wait to get into the city. So I stayed in Northern Virginia.
What's your perspective on the future for the Obama administration?
Well, you know, the first of all, I mean, here's a president who's coming in with an incredible wellspring of support. You know, having been in Washington the last weekend and just been in the city and watching, you know, nearly 2 million people come in. I mean, people are so excited about this. So he has an opportunity to be a transformative political figure. The real question that we all have to ask ourselves is, will Barack Obama govern from the left as a kind of doctrinaire liberal? And if he does that, I think he will be a failure. But if he moves to the center, as he says he's going to when he talks about being, you know, nonpartisan and non-ideological, I think he has a chance to really accomplish a lot as president, although I do not like his $1 trillion spending plan. I think that is very ill-designed.
I don't see how that's a move to the center.
Well, that's the point. I mean, this is the thing about Barack Obama. And, you know, I like the guy so much personally, and I know Barack Obama. But he has this strange thing. His program is very left-wing, but his rhetoric is very centrist. You know, he says, let's not be ideological, let's not be partisan. But, you know, you mentioned that first thing out of the box, which will be that $1 trillion spending bill. This is the biggest expansion of government we'll have ever seen in our lifetime.
And I thought we were trying to stop that. I thought that's what last 30 years were about.
One of the reasons the Republicans are going to have a very tough time stopping it is because Republicans spent like drunken sailors over the last 6 or 7 years themselves. And so they're going to have a hard case to make about not spending
Although
all this money and breaking the bank when they did it themselves.
They did, except they looked like they were drinking grasshoppers as compared to Rotka.
Electric grasshoppers.
So they were drunk on 3-2 beer as opposed to...
I keep saying that if with $1 trillion, I mean, we do need an economic stimulus. With $1 trillion, you could end the income tax for a year. I mean, if you ended the income tax for a year and businesses and workers didn't have to pay income tax, you'd see this economy turn around on a dime.
Well, we're gonna break and we're gonna get ready for the inaugural of course, Joe Biden and then the president next. So, Steve, thanks for calling this morning.
Nice talking to you guys.
Appreciate it. Yep. Stephen Moore, the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, just checking in this morning. We will be back and we'll start the coverage, get ready to start the coverage of the inauguration of Barack Obama as president of the United States, 44th president, next at AM 1500 KSTP.
AM 1500 KSTP.
We are listening right now as Senator Joe Biden takes the oath of office to be the vice president of the United States, happening now in Washington.
On which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God. Thank you, Mr. Justice.
So they have inaugurated Joe Biden to be vice president. And of course, they're not going to just move directly to Obama. That will there's going to be a couple of different events that will take place. There'll be a singer. Who is it? Paul Williams? John Williams. I was thinking of the little guy with the glasses back from the 60s. So now Biden's walking around shaking hands. Dianne Feinstein, other senators and friends and family and so forth, they're in front of the Capitol taking the oath of office. So anyway, that is the Biden inaugural. So now Biden's been inaugurated as vice president.